T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Perfect for golf. That means a lot of golfers are in Tour Championship this week at Eastlake. And so if you want to get tickets to see Tiger and...
going to be a lot of people playing hooky today, John Freaky.
Yeah, Koepka and Dustin Johnson. It kind of begins tomorrow. There's a big kind of day tomorrow on Wednesday, and then the tournament starts on Thursday. But Wednesday will be a lot of fun. If you get a chance to go out there tomorrow, you'll have a gas out at Eastlake. It's a, if you've never been, beautiful course. Gorgeous course.
I keep hearing about it. I heard it's nice.
Love Eastlake Golf Club. I'll be out there on Thursday. With my mom coming to town, we're going to take in the golf tournament. And then, of course, all the football that's going to happen. Baseball with Brazen Cards tonight. And then the Phillies come into town. It is hate week with the you-know-who coming into town. And Clemson, Georgia Tech. And we'll talk more about Clemson and Georgia Tech because Paul Johnson is going to meet with the media today. So that'll be a big focus that we talk about coming up tomorrow for all you Tigers fans and Jacket fans. Right now, we kind of want to take a look at we just talked about Georgia State and Western Michigan at Georgia State Stadium. Georgia goes on the road here to talk a little college football. And we're going to get into that because it is football season, and that means tailgating and a true Southern tailgate. Not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, but by God, raised in the South. All right? We have Georgia and the Missouri Tigers. Now, I think that if you start to look at the East, Hugh, everybody assumed once Georgia got through South Carolina and waylaid the Gamecocks, that they said, oh, this is going to be easy. We're going to go 12-0.
Well, that's what we were told. That's what we were told because you're talking about they were one of the top 10 easiest schedules in college football. So that's what we were led to believe.
Because they had the world's most pathetic non-conference schedule, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee. And if you think those two teams are bad, where do you see UMass later in the year? UMass is a disaster of a football program. But having said that, suddenly you start to look down at this rest of this a schedule that does not include UMass, and it is not going to be easy. Arthur and I, you and I were talking about this yesterday because suddenly, of the seven teams that you face to go here in the conference, six of them are either ranked or received votes in the poll, Arthur. Is that right? Do I have that right? Yeah, five.
No, you're right, six. Missouri, Vanderbilt.
Oh, six, right.
LSU, Florida, Kentucky, and Auburn.
Right.
All either received votes or currently in the top rankings.
Yeah, six, man. I mean, so suddenly it doesn't look so easy. And it starts this week. Missouri is 3-0. Now, you can look at it two ways, Hugh. You can say, boy, they barely beat Purdue last week. Purdue. Okay, fine. I'm going to buy you on that. But Missouri's back at home. That was on the road. They come back home. They're 3-0. We know they present problems on offense. And Drew Locke can get it downfield. I mean, so much so that I was mentioning, there are people talking about Drew Locke being a top three pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, you're talking about he threw for 375 yards, three TDs. But this is the thing that kind of has me scratching my head a little bit. I'm looking at Missouri's defense, and they gave up 572 yards in the air. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, that's right, Missouri's defense. I'm looking at Missouri's defense. They gave up 572 yards in the air, John. So I saw the first game with Purdue and Northwestern when they played.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pretty good running back. But I don't see them matching up well with Georgia offensively. Their defense matching up well with Georgia's offense. I don't see that.
No, Missouri has to win games. They won 40-37. If they're going to beat Georgia, it's going to have to be something like 48-45. I mean,
it's
going to
be
a
shootout.
Yeah, it's going to have to be that way. But Kirby Smart knows well of Drew Locke. He's seen Drew Locke hit him for 69-yard touchdown passes, two of them last year in Athens, and he knows what Drew Locke can do to you.
He's just more mature. I think anytime you play in this conference and you go the venues he's gone to have 3 years under your belt, or you know, being in your third year, I mean, it makes it a lot more comforting. He throws the ball with purpose, and he puts him in the right play a lot, and he's a really good athlete.
Yeah, he is a very good athlete, and he has a cannon for an arm, and he could be, by the end of the year, considered the number one quarterback coming out of college in the entire nation. He just happens to play on a team that has no defense. And this is where you're going to have to just do one thing. What's the best way to contain Drew Locke? Keep him in a baseball hat on the sidelines, right? You keep him off the field. And you do that by running the clock and running the football. And that means Elijah Holyfield. And Elijah was talking this week about his dad watching him because somebody said, hey, you know, I mean, you're not like the number one guy on this team. You know, what's it like and what is your dad saying to you? And Elijah said this.
He did say he was proud of me. He was proud of my performance. He said he wished I would have scored. He said I should have probably just kept running. He said trust your speed. That's what he said to me. He's just like, you know, we got to get better next week. So he's all about moving forward now and trying to do better.
You know, that running game of Georgia, Hugh, even without Zeus, you have Elijah Holyfield, DeAndre Swift, James Cook, Brian Herrien. But, I mean, they're going to end up with, you know, they may have, maybe they'll have a couple 1,000-yard rushers. And they may have, you know, four guys that end up with 650 yards plus.
Embarrassment of talent at that position. And you know, the story of Elijah Holyfield is one that should be told to a lot of kids, especially the young quarterbacks that are playing football nowadays that get mad when certain people take their position or they're not in a position to play. You just never know, man. And you can still get everything that you could possibly want out of your football career in college if sometimes you just stay where you are and just wait your turn. Sometimes it's just not your turn. And right now it's his turn, and he's taking full advantage of it.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, last year he's behind Chubb and Michelle. He's behind Swift. He's like in the 4-5 in the depth chart with Herrien. This year he comes in. He's like 3-4 on the depth chart. But then Zeus gets hurt, and then there's a little bit of a ding to DeAndre Swift. And the next thing you know, it's Elijah, we got to have you. And, boy, I tell you what, watching him play, he's a better player than I think that some people thought he was,
but they have,
they've got an extended time to see him.
When you look at all of their running backs, they could go anywhere else and probably be the starter, be the featured back. But, you know, you're going to still get your chance. You're going to get your chance to play, and I think that's the biggest thing that you have to look at this situation and appreciate is the fact that you had Nick Chubb and Sony Michel last year. I think some would argue that Sony was the better back. Or maybe it was Nick Chubb. It all depends on who you talk to. But they both got drafted, and that's the biggest thing. If your desire is to go to the next level, you can still get that done. You don't have to be the guy that plays every snap. You can still get that done if you take advantage of your snaps that you're out there and you're productive.
Anyway, he's a good looking back, and he is you're right, the number one back on a lot of teams, and he's going to be asked to do it again. Now, we'll have to wait on DeAndre Swift to see if he can get back and get to be 100 again and be part of this offense the way that they want to incorporate him into this offense. Because so far this year, I mean, DeAndre's only toted the ball 24 times in three games. I mean, that's not – I mean, look, this is not an offense designed to have one guy run it 24 times a game. But if you had told me 24 times in three games, I would have said, okay, what's going on here? So they've been spreading the ball out because Swift has 24 carries, Holyfield has 22, James Cook has 22, and these youngsters, Cook is a good-looking youngster too. By the way, he's Dalvin Cook's younger brother.
Yeah.
So,
and I tell you what, man, as a old defender, it's tough to play against multiple backs because they all have a different style of running. You know, different body types and everything. It's just harder to prepare for a multitude of different runners like that.
Of course, we're talking about Georgia getting ready for Missouri on Saturday as they go on the road to Columbia to play their second conference game of the year. And, of course, both have been on the road. You look at Missouri, 3-0 coming into the game. And, again, Missouri's not going to be a world beater, but I do find it kind of interesting that suddenly this schedule is a little bit more difficult than I think some people perceived it possibly to be. And here's what I want to point out about Georgia's schedule. Now, Missouri is on the road. They're 3-0. Now, if you're presuming, Hugh, it seems to me, if you're presuming and you're a Georgia fan, we got this, we got 12-0, you got to be careful. And I'm not just talking about going to LSU, where LSU's already beaten two top 10 teams. And I'm not just talking about playing Auburn, who you lost to in the regular season. I know you beat them in the SEC title game, and yes, I know you have them at home. But, you know, you have to play Auburn, and we know how that's a slobber knocker.
Mm-hmm.
Florida down in Jacksonville,
at the world's greatest tailgate.
You know, always.
And that Kentucky game might be a significant game down the line.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, I'm still tooting that Kentucky horn. Yeah. It might be that might be the one. And then after that, what do you have, John? You have
this isn't in order.
I see that. But then you got a little bit of a break in UMass, and then you got Georgia Tech.
You know, but Georgia Tech, again, you're playing in Athens with Georgia Tech beating you the last two times they've come up there. I know, but, I mean, Georgia Tech, weird things happen in this rivalry.
I agree.
And then suddenly that Vanderbilt game doesn't look quite so easy, does it? I mean, that doesn't look like the cakewalk it looked like at the beginning of the year. Vandy going up, they should have beaten Notre Dame. I'm not saying you're not going to win,
But you're going to be tested.
Here's the thing with Georgia that's going to be interesting to me. We know, set aside LSU and Auburn, okay? Set those games aside. You should know that by now, or even take the Florida game. I'm also going to put that into that category just because it's always that way. But if you look at Tennessee and Missouri and Vanderbilt and Kentucky, all right, those four, one of those four, Hugh, is going to be a game. Just because you're going to have kind of an off day, they're going to be on their game, everything's going to go their way, they're going to get a couple of breaks early, you're going to have to rally. That's the way this works. And if you think you're just going to waltz through all those games 58 to nothing, you got another thing coming. Now, you may beat Missouri this week like a drum. That may happen. You may go, we got this. But again, something happens against Tennessee. Something happens against Vanderbilt. Something happens against Kentucky. What was it a couple of years ago when Vanderbilt came in here on homecoming and beat you?
Remember? Yeah, I get your point. But I think with this Georgia team, the way that Coach Smart has it set up is that you really can't get comfortable. Because even when you look at the position that Jake Fromm is in, as good as he's playing right now, there's always the threat of Justin Fields coming out there and taking your job. So you can never rest on your laurels, because there are some Georgia Bulldogs that feel that Justin Fields should be the starter. And now I know that's not going to happen because of what Jake Fromm is able to accomplish, but still, just to have that threat of somebody constantly stepping up, next man up, that competitive nature that you have in practice all the time, I think that's one of the main reasons why Alabama football is as good as it is. Because as well as Tua Tagovailoa is playing right now, Coach Saban has made it clear that Jalen Hurts could potentially be the starter at some point, and he's been playing them like that's the case. So I think that's where you have it, the market cornered, where guys don't get complacent, and that they know that, you know, you're on a week-to-week basis as far as the starting position is concerned.
Right, and one of the great things Alabama's done in this incredible run that they've been on isn't so much what they did to Ole Miss last week and beating them 62-7. What Nick Saban has done is Alabama has won all the preponderance of. They have won the close games. You know, they're going to win. Georgia's going to win its blowouts. They're going to beat the Middle Tennessees. They're going to be – they may waylay Missouri. Who knows? They may run Kentucky out of the building up there. Who knows?
What close games, John? You're talking about Alabama won.
But Alabama's won those close – like last year.
I thought you meant this year, because I'd be like, boy,
they haven't had one this year. But he's really good at winning the close games. I mean, like the LSU game last year, that
10-0 game. Yeah, okay,
they're really good at winning the close games. When they get scares, they tend to be able to win those games.
The tight ones, yeah.
Well, you know, the Georgia game in the national championship, for example. I mean, and of course, they lost a game last year to Auburn, but they've done really good. So what Alabama does really well is that they win all the games they're supposed to win, and those two to three to four that get a little dicey during the course of the season, they win those. That's what Georgia's going to be charged with now. How do you handle those close games? You know that you're 3-0, you should be 12-0, and of your last nine games, you know full well that you're going to win, say, six of those handily, okay? So Georgia's got nine wins in the bag. Those other three games, and maybe it's LSU, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, or maybe you go down to LSU or play Auburn and
could potentially
and do well.
Be LSU.
Yeah, you're going to have three games. Well, yeah, sure. You're going to have three games that are going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them's going to surprise you. That's my point. And that surprise could come this week. Suddenly we could be talking about being on upset alert at the fourth quarter. Now, Georgia could go up there and beat them 48-6.
I don't know about that, John. Like, no disrespect to the Big Ten, because there's some good teams in the Big Ten, but Purdue, in my mind, is not considered one of them. And if Purdue can hit you for 572 yards, that speaks volumes to me.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Missouri has
any defense. And they don't have – like, Purdue, to me, does not have the personnel that Georgia has. And for them to hang 572 yards
on –
yeah, come on, man. Come on.
No, and I'm not saying – look, I mean, again, Georgia could go up there, Hugh, and waylay them. I'm just saying they'll
have – no, I know what you're saying, but it's just –
they're going to have an off day.
But you can't have off day against Missouri, though.
Well, yeah, but right. That's because suddenly Drew Locke has five touchdowns passing, and the next thing you know, you're going, why are we down 35-31 for no reason, you know? I mean, so you're going to have those days. I mean, I'm saying it's going to happen Saturday, but you're going to have those days. It'll be really interesting to see how this team responds to those when they have one in their face. I just think it's going to be fascinating.
I think they'll rise to the occasion. I think Coach Smart has done a great job of getting these kids to this point and just not being comfortable. That's the biggest thing. That's what you're talking about right there, John. Mm-hmm. You're a much better football team with him at the helm, but you still haven't arrived. You still haven't gotten that national championship trophy. You haven't gotten that yet under his watch.
You should have, but second to 26.
Well, you know,
woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I will say this. Is Georgia the class of the East? No question. By far the class of the East. And they, Georgia national champion this year, what they do is they go out to Columbia Saturday. They come home. like what Alabama did, 62-7 on the road. That's what Georgia does. Same thing, okay? Ole Miss and Missouri, kind of probably the same, about the same team. Missouri got a far better quarterback. Hey, Falcons fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And, of course, that'll begin at 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Hugh and Mike on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Bud Light Game Day's favorite light lager. Hugh and Mike will be at the AT&T Perch for Hate Week on Sunday beginning at 11 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back in a moment, Braves knocking on the door of an NL East championship, but going in kind of sideways. Is this a good thing or not? We'll talk about that next.
On the app. We are killing it online. Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of fun talk going on our Twitter this morning at 92.9 The Game. Want you to jump into the conversation. Morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. You going to have a cheeseburger. Hugh, will you have a cheeseburger today to celebrate National Cheeseburger Day?
Nah. The closest thing I have is, like, I had a Reuben yesterday. It was pretty good. I mean, I know that's not the same thing, but.
No, but it's tasty.
Pretty, yeah, I like Reuben. Yeah, a good Reuben sandwich, man.
Now, do you like corned beef or pastrami Reubens?
Corned beef.
Yeah.
Corned beef. Yeah.
I like them both, yeah. But I like corned beef a little bit better. I'm with you.
But I'm not going to have a cheeseburger today.
National Cheeseburger Day, we're asking you on our Twitter, what's your favorite type of cheese to put on your burger? Is it American? Is it cheddar? Is it Swiss? Is it pepper jack? You never. I know that. What did AT said? Only cheddar. What's your favorite, Wendy? Is it, you know?
If I was going to definitely pick one, it would be cheddar, followed by pepper jack.
Yeah. So
pepper jack. Every now and then. Nah, but people might get a little. I know this is not a burger, but I put pepper jack on my Chick-fil-A sandwich every now and then, just to spice it up a little bit.
Good.
That's a good move. That's a good move right there.
That's a game changer.
Yeah. But pepper jack, for me, pepper jack takes it to the next level, especially if you get a good burger that you don't have to put a whole, like if you get a burger that you don't have to put ketchup or mustard on,
mm-hmm.
that pepper jack takes it to the next level.
Yeah,
or a good Gouda.
My wife makes grilled cheese. I know that's we're not talking about grilled cheese today, but she, you know, uses, you know, we've done this before where you've used multiple cheeses, like Havarti and Swiss.
Well, don't talk about multiple cheeses. AT doesn't like multiple cheeses. He's a one cheese guy.
You're a one cheese guy, AT?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Okay, I got you. But you can vote in the poll and weigh in as well. And even if you're like me and don't care for your cheese on a cheeseburger, for the same reason I don't like cheese on an Arby's sandwich, it ruins an Arby's sandwich to me.
Oh, no, that melted cheese. No, John, we can't go with you on that one.
No,
the only down thing
can.
About Arby's is that there aren't enough around the city anymore. Like, Arby's is like a dinosaur.
We have the meats.
Sydney Marcus, brother.
Speaking of meats.
There's a plenty of them up in Cobb County.
Or Howell Mill Road, right off 75.
Are you laughing, Hugh?
No.
I think there's more Arby's than he realizes.
I'm just laughing because I don't think anybody – did anybody hear the wonderful commercial, the end of the wonderful commercial we had this morning, the Steak 'em Up commercial? And you know that I admit that sometimes I could be a little childish, but it was this one line. It was this one line in this commercial that had me kind of –
I thought we were waiting in Hugh's world, man.
Because they brought it up. It was the perfect
Hugh's
segue.
Well, Hugh's world is the next segue.
Listen, are you listening? You missed it. You missed it. What did it say?
Date night beef.
Somebody's fighting on date night?
No, late night beef. That was the Steak 'em Up commercial.
Date night beef.
Oh, they're fighting after midnight.
Steak 'em is date night beef.
Steak 'em Up.
It is only Tuesday.
It's late night beef.
Yeah, man, you get too much alcohol in you and you want to fight. You know, I get it.
Dale only cut up the. I wanted to play the whole part.
They're not paying for it. They only paid for one spot, bro.
That's that late night beef.
You're not going to hit me with that.
Hey, Dale, hit him on Friday with that.
I'm not going to do it.
Damn it, Daryl.
I just seen Terry Fox running out of that office.
Date night beef.
No, I had it wrong. Date night beef.
That's what I kept trying to tell you.
Hit him again with that.
Date night beef.
Thank you. Okay,
if you,
now I'm
if
done.
You ever you're pose done. Like that again, I'm going to punch you
in
the
throat. You can have the show back now.
Okay. Hey, did you hear about the Braves last night? Braves last night didn't do well. Braves last night kind of lost. This is what happened last night. Let's just bring it up to speed real quick here on what happened with the Braves last night. Mike Foltynewicz in the first inning walked a guy, walked another guy, walked a third guy, and then hit another guy, and a run came home. Then he gave up a double, and there were three runs in, and the Braves had to claw and scratch from there, and Freddie did his part to claw and scratch back.
Swing and a drive. That's headed for the bullpen. One-run game.
Yeah, it was Freddie's two-run home run to make it 3-2. Chip Carey on Fox Sports South, but every time the Braves made a rally, and then they made a big rally in the eighth inning and could not get a clutch hit from Freddie Freeman. The Cardinals were, you know, hitting home runs because they hit one home run, then they hit a second, then they hit a third, then they hit a fourth, then they hit a fifth home run. They had five home runs in the game. You walk a lot of batters, which the Braves have done over the last three nights. Their starters have not been good, and then you give up five home runs. Odds are you're not going to win a lot of games, and they're not winning a lot of games right now at home.
And that has been that has been the biggest issue. But last night for me, the biggest the most egregious offense for the Braves last night was the fact that when Freddie Freeman had runners in scoring position, he could have hit a four-hit home run.
A grand slam.
Grand slam. Thank you, John. I couldn't get that out because I was thinking about that date night beef. But anyway, if you can get that, if he could have hit a grand slam, that could have changed the whole dynamic of the game. You know, sometimes I get stuck on stuff. I got stuck with stuff. I was stuck a little bit.
Seriously, you're a trip.
I was stuck a little bit.
We were talking Grand Slam, I'll start thinking about Denny's. All right, so we've got we got.
I forgot to pack my lunch this morning by the way.
You're what is it? What was your word about Wendy about?
I'm hangry. Okay. I'm hangry. Yeah, I forgot to pack my lunch this morning. That's what that is.
The Braves lose again. They get the Cardinals tonight, and they'll send Anibal Sanchez to the mound. Braves are only one game over 500 at home. They have the worst home record among all the contenders in the National League. They also have the best road record of all the contenders in the National League. It's like, please leave.
And the great part about all of this is that even though the Braves had a tough one last night, that the Phillies helping them out. And they keep, you know, they're not doing themselves any favors. And Gabe Kapler is probably catching it. He's catching all kinds of heat in Philadelphia right now because they can't seem to get it together as well.
How lucky are the Braves? I mean, if the Phillies had just played 500 baseball, they'd be tied with the Braves over the last, like, 3 weeks. They'd be tied. Instead, they're 6.5 games back because as bad as the Braves have been, it's been as bad as the Phillies have been and as blech as the Washington Nationals have been, who they also lost last night. So the Braves are kind of back, walking backwards into this NL East championship. Their thing, that figure that we use is 7, okay? All right, so it's 7.
You mean the magic number?
Oh, man, what? You know.
Look, I don't have the capability to jump from y'all. Y'all are tripping
That's not my fault. That's John's fault.
Right now. Y'all are tripping.
Need to do a better job of setting it up, John Freaky.
No, that's why I didn't say it, so that because I knew he was doing like date night beef and he wasn't going to be able to grab
magic number.
We keep hitting him with these.
Hey, we just having fun on the radio, y'all.
No, he said it was funny. He was a little hot behind us.
Who was hot? Because y'all are just getting out of control with this stuff.
Hey, we kind of caught him off guard.
I need to have like a little Dewalker in here.
We need to get him. You know, we need to get him one of those little. What you call those things that you can have a
360 machine?
Yes, yeah. He has the sound effects. Because I like that other one that he just did that I'm not going to even mention because I know he ain't got it. He got it queued up just yet. But that one, I like. We got to keep that one.
Date night beef.
You got to keep that date night beef, though. Keep that one.
I think I can do that guy's voice. Date night beef. Yeah,
especially on that Friday.
Oh, they're not talking about fighting? Oh.
No, date night.
Oh, never mind.
It's a Steak'em commercial.
It's a Steak'em.
Beef, man.
John, you didn't get it?
Beef didn't.
Because that goes perfect with your Thursday night drinking night. And then you can end that drinking night with
date night beef.
Are you happy now?
I don't fight with my wife. I love her. She's very kind and sweet.
Oh, and I cannot get enough of that.
This is worse than music rehearsal right now, man.
You are out of control.
I can't get enough. AT, that was a gift from the heavens.
Wendy, why don't you help me?
I'm very busy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I see what it is. All right.
But that was
Wendy, me
gift.
And you, I'm telling you.
That was a gift from the heavens.
Tripping. Wendy used to help me. Now she just leaves me out here. I don't know, Wendy.
What to do.
No, I got you.
We're all just watching.
I'm working very hard. I got you, Wendy.
Wendy was like, I'm rowing that boat by myself.
Not solo.
All you have to do is say you can't find it.
Jason Derulo
You're
over
the one
here.
Who cut it to keep playing it. I mean...
Because y'all keep advertising it.
No, I'm just
y'all,
saying that is...
Is that a singular thing? Like,
you know what the best part about that cut is?
What's that?
I can't get in trouble for that because that's a part of a commercial.
But I can.
You want to bet?
I can't get in trouble for that.
There's always a way.
Now, wait a second. It is a commercial for a steak sandwich, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's made from beef, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just funny.
Date night beef.
It goes perfect with drinking night.
That's not it's only Tuesday. We got a slower roll.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
You know?
Oh, I digress.
Well, you know it's always an NFL off day on Tuesdays. That's where he is today.
Oh, that tickled me so.
Let's hope the Saints have an NFL off day on Sunday. That'd be a good thing.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Is my own line against me? Okay.
Well, as if we don't already live there, since we've already started it, what the hell? News world.
Oh, is it that time already? Well, yes. Well, I went to the movies this weekend to see Predator, and I'm going to critique it today. And I promise you, I will not mess it up. I will not give away any spoilers. All that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 Again.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
So I took my son to the movies this weekend to see The Predator. At first, we went to go see, you know, the Morehouse Golden Tigers beat up on Central State University. But at the half, he wanted to go see a movie. So we decided to go see The Predator. And I really kind of wanted to see this movie. Well, I really wanted to see it because I wanted to see how they were going to do it, especially since they had Keegan-Michael Key as one of the main characters in the movie. And as we all know, he comes from Key and Peele. He's more of a comedian. Mm-hmm. Than anything. And so to see him in this role as a hero, I wanted to see how that was going to work out because he's mostly known for his funny stuff. Some of the actors that played in this movie, there were kind of a few unknowns. Boyd Holbrook was the lead character. He was the guy that played, if you saw Logan was the last Wolverine movie. He was the guy that played the bad guy that had the prosthetic arm, the robot arm, in the Logan series. That was hunting Logan. He was the guy that was hunting Logan. And another star was Trevante Rose. He hasn't been acting that long. I think his biggest movie role to date was Moonlight. That won an Oscar. I think it won an Oscar a couple years ago. If I'm not mistaken, it won an Oscar a couple years ago. And he played in Burning Sands. That was a movie about, you know, pledging or whatnot. And another big name in this movie was Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane, if anybody remembers, he was the guy that played the Punisher in the very, very first Punisher movie.
Right.
Not the one that was all blood and gore. It wasn't that one. But let me tell you, the movie The Predator, I had to see it because I like, you know, any series or any franchise that you watch, you're kind of invested and you want to just see what direction they're going to go in this one. This one went in a completely different direction than the first one, because I know you said you were a big fan of the first one.
Yeah, right.
But after I watched the movie, John Frickett, I can't see you actually watching this movie and enjoying it, because initially it's all over the place. And what I mean by that is the way the movie starts and the way that they introduce Boyd Holbrook into the movie. The one thing that I did like about it is that the action did start almost immediately. It's like it starts from the beginning and it kind of goes. And then it goes through the phase of where he actually meets his ragtag group of individuals. And another guy that was in the movie, Alfie Allen. We all know him from Game of Thrones. He was Greyjoy. Can't remember his first name, but he was Greyjoy that later turned into Reek. But the movie on its own, it's one of those ones where you really have to be a fan of the franchise to kind of get it. Because it starts off, it starts off kind of in the vein of the Predator movies, And then it has a phase where everybody meets each other and you're kind of wondering how these individuals are going to fit into the overall movie plot. And that's where it kind of gets all over the place. Another star that was in this movie, I didn't even recognize it was her because she played her character was Casey Brackett, Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn.
Oh, you know, Aaron Rodgers' ex.
Yeah. She they could have kind of did without her part because it was it didn't do a great job of developing her character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other players in this movie, they gave you a little bit more background because of the situation that they were all in. It, you know, without giving away too much of the movie. They were all in the similar situation. And her character and the way that she developed as the movie went on, it kind of makes you wonder her character, how did she get to where she was, if you will. But overall, action was great. The action was great in the movie. The Predator was off the hook. Like, if you're a fan of, like, the first one and the way that they evolved the character throughout the whole Predator series, you're going to really like this one. You're going to really like this one. And it did a great job of explaining why the Predators are coming to Earth. And at the end of the movie, they set it up that they're trying to revive the franchise. That's the biggest thing that I got from it. But I was not a fan of the way that they're trying to revive it. But they are going to revive the Predator franchise.
You know, sometimes, you know, bringing back the Alien franchise, for example, right?
Yes. But that's great. The way they did the Alien franchise, Don, that is phenomenal. Because I think James Cameron, right, was the guy that made the Alien. Well, I think it was James Cameron.
Well, the original was Ridley Scott.
No, you're right.
And then Aliens was James Cameron.
Okay, Aliens was James Cameron.
The second one, right?
Okay, but the Ridley Scott one, that was scary because it used a lot of dark places. You really didn't get to see the alien a whole lot.
Right. Wasn't a lot of blood in that.
Wasn't a whole lot, but this one, the way that they're going into the alien origin story and everything, there is a great point. They're trying to do the same thing with the Predator.
Well, yeah, but Prometheus was so bad.
You didn't like Prometheus?
No, I thought it was awful.
Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't like
the
it
the origin
at all.
Story. That was
weird.
A great movie.
It was just bizarre. Okay.
But it was
I did not care for Prometheus.
It was the origin of life. I thought it was pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, I know. It just was weird to me.
But to that point, the Predator movie, this Predator movie, is kind of the same thing. It's really kind of the same thing. And at the end, it's going to be really, like, you're going to, if you decide to see it, you're going to be surprised. You're going to kind of look at it. It's going to be kind of goofy, but you're going to be like, wow.
Don't we have to have a Royal Rumble, like Predator, Alien, Terminator? We have to have, like, all of them. They're sort of like the X-Men kind of thing or the Avenger thing.
I think the Predator would win.
You know, I mean, we just honestly have all of them, like, in one, and they would all just, you know, and have that super, you know, T-2000 Terminator that melts and reforms. And,
yeah, the Terminator. I hate that they didn't finish the Sarah Connor Chronicles. When they did that.
Oh, the TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Now, that was a very good TV show.
I hate that they did not.
Yeah, that TV
that.
Show was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was really good. But if you get a chance, people, like if you're a diehard fan of the franchise, go check out Predator and tell me what you think on my Twitter feed because I liked it. It was a far cry from the original and anything else that has been done in the past. Keegan Key, he did a pretty good job with his character. That was my biggest concern, was how he was going to fit into what they were trying to do. But he did a good job.
Don't read the reviews because Rotten Tomatoes hates it.
Oh, no. Rotten Tomatoes hates everything. Rotten Tomatoes hates everything, Tom. But, you know, sometimes real moviegoers have to go see the movie, and you have to get it from that perspective. People that are diehard fans of the franchise. That's why I said when I saw it, I didn't really think you would probably like it if you were a fan of the first one, because it's a far cry from that one. Mm-hmm. It really is.
That first one was fun, though. Yeah, it was. If you've never seen the original, it's a lot of fun. In the jungle, it make you jump. And, you know, there's certain movies that do that, you know, and it's one of them. Alien was another. You know, it's like we were talking about Alien, no joke. Yeah, a friend of mine said he'd never seen Deliverance. And I said, well, you got to see Deliverance, and then you got to see another movie called Southern Comfort with Keith Carradine and Powers Booth, where they're in the swamp. You want to know, if it's 8 week, you want to know the most spooky swamp movie you could ever see? Go see Southern Comfort. It's Deliverance in the Swamp.
Okay. I might check that out.
Southern Comfort. Yeah. Oh, it'll spook you. You'll never go into that swamp again, okay? But occasional,
Just saying.
Hey, Jason Butt's going to join us next. We're going to talk with the Falcons guy who covers Falcons for The Athletic, what he has seen in the team so far and what he thinks about the state of the team from a health perspective and what that means going into Sunday's showdown against you-know-who. He'll join us live next on The Morning Show. Make sure you check out our very latest on our website at 929thegame.com and jump into our poll about National Cheeseburger Day on our Twitter at 929thegame. It's The Morning Show with John and Hugh. Jason Butt is next on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.